Tiger fans, get ready for episode 83 of the official Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club podcast, bringing you all the latest news, updates, and buzz surrounding your mighty JSU Tigers. I am the Corey C. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to be notified of every new episode. Apple Podcast users, rate and review the show. And everyone, follow Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club on Facebook and Tiger Talk 1400 on Twitter. It all helps the cause, which is the I love Jackson State University. And I have a special guest for you guys today. He is a highly scholarly Jackson State alumnus and an award-winning recording artist. Action from the 55 Boys. Welcome to Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club.
All right, bro. Sound good.
All right, how are you doing, man? I know it's been a crazy 2020, but how have you been doing personally?
Personally, man, I've been trying to stay safe, coping, spending time with the family, recording, and staying spiritual at the same time, and just enjoying the family, man. And then just glad to be here, man, and just trying to stay safe, man. That's it.
No doubt about that. That's all that you can ask for in this year. So glad to hear you're doing well. And we have you on the show, of course, to unveil this new anthem that you have called Get Ready. But there's no way we could bring you on here and not talk about the classic, the banger that you had back in the day, Monkey Swing. So even to this day, if a DJ throws on that record at a party, the party is guaranteed to turn up. So tell us, man, the story behind that song and what did it do for your career?
Hey, man, actually, the story behind that, man, was basically me coming up to Houston Collins, man, at Club O'Hara. And coming up to him and auditioning, basically, it was all family, man. But I was wanting to make sure you know I was real with music, man. And he was racing cars. He wasn't really into doing concerts. He wasn't really into promoting a act, really. So I came in, basically, man, and just exposed myself to him, showed him out what I was about business. And he kind of believed in me, man, him and Charlotte. They kind of believed in me and gave me the opportunity, man, to go out there. And they financed me and gave me the opportunity to go record in my own will. Use producers and give me the avenue of actually being able to perform that song with every act that you can name around the nation with number one hits in that club and opening up in Club O'Hara. So, man, having that avenue and that backing and that belief in me, they gave me an opportunity to showcase the song, showcase the dance, and showcase my talent for other producers came and pretty much got me, man. They would come to me to actually to record that song. I didn't know I was going to record that song. I thought they put me, Houston and Charlotte put me on the Quad City Bass Tour, man, with the 69 Boys, the Bread and Outkast. Pretty much were opening that show up, man. And I started, you know, just started engaging with them guys, listening to their music, and actually Howie Howe and Sleepy Never, Shake 'Em Up Sounds and Jackson. They came to Club O'Hara one night and said, man, we hear some of your music, man. You just need a track. So them guys, man, gave me a track. I went in my bedroom, man, and wrote the song right there, man. They was local DJs around the city, so we rocked it for a good while, man, and they promoted it. We did it. They reported. I kept performing at O'Hara. Then Finesse came in the picture. DJ Finesse, Chris Carr, he came into the picture of exposing it, getting the play on 99 Jams, and I ended up going up under the Finesse Records label. He ended up branching it out and getting it a little bit more nationwide and a little bit more exposure at that too. So that's basically how that thing originated, how it started through the process in a short version, you know.
No doubt. Good stuff, man. And you haven't looked back since. And let's say right now you meet someone who doesn't know who you are. What's the typical reaction like whenever they find out that you're the man behind Monkey Swing?
First of all, they think I'm from Florida.
Okay.
They didn't know. They said, man, I didn't think you would. They really don't believe I was that close to them, or they could really touch me, or they thought I was somebody in, you know, Miami, Florida, Jacksonville, Tallahassee. They thought I was originated from that era. They didn't believe it that they could come right out of the small town of Hayes, Mississippi, and get the same sound that they were getting, you know, across the nation at that time with that type of music. But they be wild out, man. The people that know me actually at the school at Jackson State and stuff, you know, they know me from an education perspective too. But the people that know me educationally, they can't believe I do it musically. And the musically people can't believe I can do the education.
So right,
it's kinda,
right.
It's kind of like a split personality.
Absolutely, man. Do you still perform the song today when you do shows?
Man, I just come out of Birmingham Sunday, and I was actually, I went down. I was close to home in Terry. They had this. They had a show in Terry. Southern Soul. Now, man, it kind of integrates into the dance music and the line dance, like Cupid, myself, and others. So that song and that type of music stay relevant. So they want a part of it, but they want to keep it under control. So that music with that anthem continue to work, man. I worked Birmingham, like I said, this past weekend. I go to Monroe Saturday, and I've been collaging along with my partner Yayo that put out the song Cowgirl, and he got a song called Boots On with Omar Cunningham. So I kind of tag into that lane, man, and it's a lot of work over there, bro.
No doubt. A lot of work, but it's been a blessing for you, man. I know you've had an impressive and a long-standing run in the music industry. Some pretty big accolades in the state, like Song of the Year. You've had Hip Hop Entertainer of the Year. As you reflect back on that, what stands out the most to you about what you've accomplished?
Musically? Are we speaking musically?
Let's start with the music.
Yeah, musically, man, it just being able to stand with a song that actually never ends, man. What really surprises me, I don't say surprises me, it fascinates me too when I see, you know, 3-year-old kids, you know, doing the monkey swing, you know. So I'm saying, man, you know, this happened a long time ago. This happened, you know, you're talking about 10, 15 years ago, and the song's still going strong. So, you know, that fascinates me just to look at how the song has carried on from one generation to another generation. So, you know, to have it made me feel some kind of way, and you wonder how it happened, you know, because, you know, it's a gift when you get those kind of songs, or you get those words to write, to put to a song, and get the whole combination of actually getting it out there across the world at the same time. So just seeing it, the most phenomenal thing is to see it go from one generation to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like wow, man. And then when you go to other states and you hear, when you get in there and they doing a dance just like they did it in Club O'Hara, and I'm a long way from home, and I'm seeing that, I said, okay, this thing for real.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. That's some great stuff. Man, you mentioned earlier, you dropped some names. I heard the Brad, of course, the, you know, 6ix9ine Boys and, you know, 95 South groups like that.
Yep.
You still get out there on the road. But who are some of the more notable artists that you've been on the road with, performed with, or even recorded with?
Okay, I got the first star with the 6ix9ine Boy, with platinum song Tussero, you know. Actually, right now, man, me and Thrill and more closer now than back then. You know, he taking up a lot of time with me. And he said because he like my grand. You know, he take up a lot of time with me with production. He actually working on a new song. We working on a new song together as we speak. It's called Soul Train Line. So we working now more than we worked back then. So getting the opportunity to kind of engage with him and his production company that's in Florida. And it give you another sound, man. It give you other people that where you were trying to go, where you went and beyond where I went. So they got a chance. I got a chance to kind of link in with this guy. Same type of feel that I got, but he's showing me other ways to make it, other ways to grind, other ways to reinvent yourself. So he sticks in the mind heavy because I do a lot of work with him, and I'm actually doing a lot of work now. Outkast, it was you know, the Dungeon Family was awesome just being around them sometime, and they were down to earth. They were, you know, they weren't trying to act no kind of way or trying to act like they was more than the next person. They shared experiences, they shared their ups and downs as well. Also with, you know, Jermaine Dupri. Got a chance to interact with those guys a lot, and I'm talking about from production wise. I got a chance to get into LaFaze Records, man. Actually, set up in the Rugger label, sit down and record songs. The Rugger label back then, man, they give you 4 or 5 songs and just tell you go edit, you know. And they want to see you on the spot. Can you produce a hit right in front of them? And they were saying you on the spot, put you on in other avenues where you can make money, you know, on shows or opening up on shows. So 8-Ball, MJG, that's one. Tila, you know, back. You know, I'm going back, man. Mm-hmm, and
right.
My way. Got a chance to do a lot. Got a chance to get around Mystical, a lot of the No Limit, the whole No Limit crew, Fiend, you know, and so forth like that with their crew. So, you know, a lot of groups from the South, mainly. Most any group that you can name from the South, I pretty much been in tune with on shows would have been around at a point. I got a chance to even go to, you know, it got so close. I got a chance to even go to, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, big birthday parties and different stuff. So I got a chance to see a lot, man. And I'm just grateful to get a chance to see it and also be able to see the ups and downs, because there's a lot of downside to that music side too that most people don't see. They see all the videos and see all the
glamour.
They see all the glamour, man. They don't see the hard work and traveling from this town to this town, and that traveling is not as fun as you think it is. It's work.
Gotcha. Wow. That's still amazing stuff, man. You've been around some heavy hitters, so yeah. You've had an awesome career. Now, you mentioned earlier, one of the things that excites you is when you see a three-year-old dance to the music. But what about some of the younger fans who aren't familiar with your older music? Will you be re-releasing any of it?
Yeah. Right now, I'll be honest with you, Monkey Swain, I didn't change it much. It's called Monkey Swain 3000. So I did another cover. I'm going to re-release it. And I got, man, you'd be surprised, man. I got 5 or 6 albums that I did with Malico Records and some other people that didn't really get promoted like it should. Some of the stuff I own, so I'd be able to recreate some of it, be able to re-put some of it out, so forth, to put down. Because right now I'm all about just music is like a hobby to me. It relieves my stress. So what I do is, man, I go in and record. I'm making music for what I want to hear. You know, I'm all about having a good time, family fun, orientated, but we're gonna have a good time. We're gonna line dance. We're gonna have a good time. So it's gonna be like my new slogan, which I'm trademarking, so can't nobody steal it. It's gonna be MADA, Make America Dance Again.
That's what's up. Good stuff, man.
So I'll be re-releasing it and some other thing, man. I'll be P Diddy in this thing, man. Because I'm gonna recreate a lot of old songs, man, that we used to dance and have good times off of.
Gotcha.
And I'm recreating them, man.
All right, man. We're definitely looking forward to that. So whenever you get a new song that you want to release, make sure you come on Tiger Talk with 1400 Club so we can let the fans hear.
That's all good.
All right, man. So tell me, man, what you've been in the game for a while, 20 plus years. Like I said, a long career that you've been able to survive and remain relevant. So you've definitely figured it out. But I do want to kind of get an idea of who some of those earlier influences that you had as far as in the music industry.
All right. Some of them earlier influences, man, like I say, the number one guy, and I say it again, it's gonna be Thrill. It's gonna be Thrill of the 6ix9ine boys, man. He pretty much motivated me. I kind of patterned myself, you know, with some of the things that they were doing, that he was doing. And I kind of navigated toward more of dance. So anything came out the ATL back then, man. I pretty much ATL in Louisiana, bounce and the party music. I pretty much was on it, man. So you can go in and order from the South. I pretty much couldn't just give you one name. It's pretty much everybody in the South and from Louisiana to the ATL and a little bit of UGK. You know, I got a chance to spend a lot of time with Pimp C them and Bun them due to the fact that, you know, Charlotte and Houston had pretty much anybody that you can name come through their club. So
absolutely. Hazelhurst, Mississippi.
Yeah, Hazelhurst, Mississippi, man. I just, you know, I had an opportunity to meet almost anybody that you can name, man. I'm talking about from R&B artists to KC and JoJo on down, you know, to the Yin Yang, to anybody that you can probably name, man. I pretty much got a chance to interact with them. So, you know, I took the Louisiana, the Mississippi twang, and then Atlanta bump. Mm-hmm. And bounce and kind of navigated all together and came up with my formula, man.
There you go.
I got a chance and I just kept my ears open, man, from record executives on up, you know. So I just kind of kept my ears open, tried to learn the game and tried to learn from my mistakes. And one mistake I can tell you now that don't know artists need to do is let somebody run your whole business for you. You need to learn everything about the business from contracts to studio time to points to radio play to BMI to ASCAP. You know everything about the business and study the game. You can Google everything really these days. You don't need nothing but the internet. You don't have to listen to nobody. You can get the internet and read it for yourself. But you need to take your time and invest in yourself.
All right, there you have it. That's free game coming from a man who's been there, done that, 20-plus year career. Here we are in 2020, and he has a new banger. He has a new anthem. Let's get to it. Introduce the new track.
New track produced by my niece, DJ Boss Chick, by your boy Action of the 55 Boys. Get ready.
I'm ready.
Yes, I'm ready.
Yes, I believe.
I believe.
Do you believe?
Do you believe?
Yes, I believe.
I believe.
Do you believe?
Do you believe?
I hope you ready. Yes, I'm ready. Never scared. I stay ready. Buckle up. Hold it steady. Game time. I can smell it. Who you with? What you buy? Sweat it. Bands. Turn it out. Blow them hoes out your mouth. Where you from? That dirty side.
Nah, nah, nah.
Who that talking? All that mess. We taking bets. Cashing checks. Head busting. Breaking necks. That swag. Baby, we the best. Bands, where they at? Drum major, clarinet, super dogs, major rest, super sexy jet.
Now who you with?
Where you from?
Taking bets, cashing checks, head busting, breaking necks, that swag, baby, we the best, marching bands, what they at, drum major, clarinet, super dogs, major rest, super sexy jet.
Now who you with,
where you from?
And there you have it. This is an exclusive right here on Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. Hey, once this track blows up, everyone remember you heard it here first. Get ready by Action of the 55 Boys. Like I said, man, it's a straight banger. Tell us how this project came about and what's your vision for it.
Hey, man, project actually came about. My niece sent me the track, man. She had the track, but almost a year, man, a little over a year. She sent me the track, and I've been kind of contemplating on what I really want to do with it. And it's still been the swag, man. When I think about the swag, it's a culture, it's a way of life. So I kind of just marinated. I marinated to God, gave me that thought one night, and came up with that anthem, man. Once I heard, I know I got motivated back when Dion came back. It motivated me. I believe back. I didn't never die and did not believe, but I definitely believe. And so that motivated me to write the song. So once I got the feel and know how I wanted to go with the song, the track was there for me. So my niece motivated me, DJ Boss Chick, to do this. And then with me being an alumni with 4 degrees from Jackson State and live the life of the swag, it was easy for me to come up with it, with the hypeness, the crunkness, and just feel like I'm just Feel like I was on a tailgate ride, man. On the field, tailgate from the stadium in the parking lot, man. So
no doubt.
That's kind of my vision for it, man. Is for it to be the anthem, not for the whole entire SWAC, man. You know, I want the SWAC is a community, man. It ain't about one team. The Tiger and D.I. Love is my heart, man. But I want just like Dion, he's coming and trying to integrate the community, man, making Jackson a better, making the state the better, making black college football athletes and students better. So I just want everybody to have this be a SWAC anthem, man. That's my goal, for it to be a SWAC anthem, SWAC video, fraternity, sorority, drum majors, you know, students, you know, community members, coaches, you know, everybody, cafeteria workers, you name it. We all out there having a good time and getting ready, man.
Hey, man, I can see it. I've been playing it over and over for the past week, ever since you sent it to me. So I know it's going to blow up. Definitely an anthem, and I can't wait for everyone else to hear it, and it can become the next monkey swing in terms of how huge it is.
Yeah, we want a huge, man.
No doubt. I know you talked about, you know, video and things of that nature, but you performed on the field at the Vet with the Boom before. Is that something that you'd like to do with this track?
Most definitely, man. You know, they gave me a call last year for the Gremlin game at halftime, and I was able to feel good to go back and perform with the school you graduated from, with the band, your number one band at the same time, Sonic Boom. Great. I can see that vision coming again. The track is set up for it. I'm set up for it. The anthem set up for it. So hopefully they'll bite on it and want to come apart, and we be a family again on this.
Definitely. Let's make that happen. And I want to definitely give a shout out to DJ Boss Chick. You mentioned her a couple times. Man, that was some fire production. She's coming out of Hazelhurst, Mississippi, too. So a lot of talent in my hometown. So just tell us a little bit about her. And you said she had that track just sitting there for a year?
Yeah, she had it, man. And then, you know, some other people in the ATL, they tried to get it from her. But, you know, yes, she had some other people told her, no, that song need to be. I think the person that do that song going to be your uncle, the Crunkness. And she basically originated, man, from in my mom's house, man, listening to her mom DJ, looking at me do music. Just family, just growing up around music and hearing and seeing me and listening to her mom and watching what I was doing. She became a DJ of her own. She originated. Charlotte Houston took up under her wings again, let her DJ in the club. She ended up moving on to Atlanta, rolling with No Limit. Doing concerts with them, DJing for some of their artists, and she stayed in the music. She hungry, man. So, you know, she's serious about that music, man. And then, you know, she started just doing just DJing, and she gone doing tracks now, bro. And she sounds well. And her tracks are getting better and better, man. So I'm proud of her.
No doubt about it, man. Definitely had to shout her out. I see her grinding. See her doing her thing in Atlanta, representing the SIP as always. So great job, DJ Boss Chick. I know you're listening. But the track, man, it has your signature sound. One thing I can say about you is that you've been able to remain relevant while staying true to yourself and your musical roots. And that says a lot, because rap can become trendy. I know some artists, they tend to try to duplicate what's in style or what's popular. But your music has a distinct sound that I can trace it back to the mid-90s. During that 69 Boys era, and we talked a lot about them, you know, 95 South here on the interview. And I know you came up right alongside those guys. And here we are in 2020, and you're still making people dance just like you did 20 years ago.
That's it, man. What I did, man, if you don't watch yourself, you'll try to get a track just like you hear, because what people see, they see when the people flock to one type of music and they think that's the only way they can actually have a hit if they try to mimic somebody else. They want a song exactly. They'll go in the studio, give me a track just like this. I want to, and then they'll try to write this song and they'll try to sound like that person. So they don't have no distinct individualized plan for themselves. So me, whether I'm going to be with you or not, or whether you're going to buy my album or not, or you're going to buy my song or not, I'm going to stay true to myself and I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm not going to try to go out here and tell you I'm going to talk about being a gangster. I'm not going to talk about, and not to take nobody music away from them or belittle nobody. But me, I was always, like, I always loved to dance. I always loved dance music. And it ain't all about, you know, shaking and popping. It's just basically the music of having it's like a family reunion to me in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
In my thing, I stay true to what I do. I know that's what I do. Anytime I ventured off in other type of songs, I always had somebody pat me on the back. No, D, stay in your lane, man. You know, even if I thought about it, you know, Vanessa, you said a lot of times that no, they don't even do, and I could write any kind of song. If you hear some of them songs that I got, you know, I got some fire trap songs too, but that's just not me. I never did put them out, I never did push them. I think I just got it off my chest in the studio. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, man, I just stayed true to what I do and the way I operate, the way I live, the way I came up, man. So I kind of stuck to what got me there. But sometimes you can put a twist to it, and that might be with the track, but I'm still going to deliver the same way.
No doubt about it. And man, I got to give you props for your ability to balance a music career with continuing your education, because you have 4 degrees. Bachelor's, Master's, Educational Specialist, and a PhD in Education Leadership from The I Love. So how important has it been for you to get those degrees, and what was it like balancing it with the music?
The music and me and my mom, I think. Seeing my mom going to work sometimes. She worked at the local Sanderson Farms when I was a kid, man, coming up, and see her come home, you know, a lot of times soaking her hands, feet tied, man. She trying to take care of the whole family, bro. That motivated me for education-wise. And then that made me want to better myself, man, as a man, as a person, to have something solid that I can find, some solid foundation that I can fall back on. So I ventured right on into school, man. And when I was going to school, I still had the music going on all the time. So I kind of just I prioritized my day. I pretty much took care of my homework and everything before any lights came on about talking about going to the studio or going apart or doing anything. So early parts of the week in the daytime, I kind of took all my classes, man, before 11 or 12 o'clock, I'm done. I'm back at the room. 3 o'clock, I'm done studying. I'm doing, then I'm 5 on out. I'm in the studio. The weekend come, I'm finished with everything, man. So I prioritize myself, man, and prioritize my day. It was difficult because a lot of times I didn't do certain things that other people did on the road. You know, when they went out and did this, I pretty much would read, working on a paper, and then go do a concert. So, you know, it was quite interesting, but I was able to do it, man. And I had some good people surrounded. That was the most important thing. I had people that surrounded me, man, that know I was serious about my education, and they didn't try to tempt me to do nothing. They kept me focused. And they respected my privacy when it was time for me to take care of business for any of my coursework.
That's awesome, man, prioritizing that education like that. And didn't that lead to some teaching opportunities for you down the line as well?
Yeah, I also been teaching at Jackson State University in the Education Leadership Department online since 2016, preparing students to be administrators in our public school system around the state of Mississippi.
Absolutely. Man, I want to thank you for coming on. You know, song is a certified banger. And of course, you know, I'm from Hazelhurst. You're from Hazelhurst. DJ Boss Chick from Hazelhurst. But man, I saw you from the beginning. I literally remember my dad, you know, helping you guys come up with the original name of the group. I can take it back to I-55 when you guys first started.
Exactly.
I saw rehearsals. Man, literally your first rehearsals in the Oasis in Hazelhurst, in Club O'Hara.
Right.
And of course, O'Hara was owned by my uncle, Sweet Hugh, Houston Collins, the legend himself, the entrepreneur, the big-time promoter, and another Jackson State alumnus, by the way. And I know he meant a lot to you. You've talked about him throughout this show, what he's done for your career. Great man. So may he rest in peace. But hey, man, keep up the great work. You've been an inspiration to generations that came after you in Hazelhurst. So congratulations on all your success. Well deserved.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember your daddy shooting a lot of footage, and your grandma, too. Be right there, man. Man, it was something, bro.
No doubt. It's awesome to see how you started and where you're at, man. So great job. How can the fans maybe follow you online or get tour information or especially find your music?
Okay, man. You can get my music on any online source, from Spotify to iTunes to Apple Music. But Facebook, they can catch me at Action 55 Boys. That's ACTION. Action 55 Boys. You can go Twitter or Instagram. And Lil DJ 55. That's Lil DJ LIL DJ 55. So you can do Twitter, Facebook. You got a YouTube page. That's gonna be Action 55 Boys. And I got a web page now. It's gonna be 55action.com.
Got it. All right, man. Keep up the great work.
No doubt, bro. Appreciate the love, man, and the support.
And that'll do it for episode 83 of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. Thank you to all of our listeners. And again, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Apple Podcast listeners, rate and review the show. And everyone, follow Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club on Facebook and Tiger Talk 1400 on Twitter. I can't stress the importance of this enough. We're looking to do some big things with this platform to aid the athletics department, and it all starts with you. Downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show. And tell every Tiger that you know. We're on all podcast outlets. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, and so on. And we'll be posting each episode on our Facebook and Twitter pages. As always, thanks for your support. Go Tigers! Hashtag I Believe. Hashtag The I Love.